I'm Joanne Wilson, and this is Positively Gotham Gal, meaningful conversations with women entrepreneurs about their approach to life, business, and everything in between. Robin Beavers is the co-founder and CEO of Blueprint Power, a real estate and energy tech company that turns buildings into urban power plants. Robin had a real aha moment when she came up for the idea for Blueprint, and her journey towards entrepreneurship is not one to miss. So let's talk about energy.
One of my favorite topics.
It's one of your favorite topics. And you know, you've spent your whole career basically in energy.
Yes.
So why were you, why were you drawn to energy? And B, just noting that the next generation of entrepreneurs, as I look at companies and others, not only do I think it's important, like, oh, you've actually been in that field your whole life.
Yeah.
You know, or having investors that actually have been in that field and understand it.
Yes.
And I think that is a really good thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. No, I became fascinated with energy as I was studying civil engineering at Stanford. And there I was learning how to design buildings so they could stand up and not fall down. And then also you learned about building systems and, you know, the things, the inputs into buildings like water, you know, utilities, and of course, electricity. And that, you know, this was in the late 90s, early 2000s. A lot of great books were coming out talking about green building, just holistic design, cradle to cradle, you know, circular design. Mm-hmm. And I loved thinking about that.
And that was very early on.
That was very early on.
You know, we actually had a friend in 87 who was selling solar power.
Wow. That is amazing.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. And honestly, he made no money. He couldn't get it together. I mean, it was super expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone saw it, but no one was willing to do it.
Yes.
But he was on to something a little too early.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to meet the, like, a lot of folks who were installed, like solar installers in the early 80s, or it was often a response to, you know, the oil crisis.
It was totally a response to the oil.
So there's a lot of folks who have been tackling energy from various ways along the last few decades, because it's, you can't stay in one place and do it. It's just been so volatile because it's so new, and it's just how those things work.
Well, and there's so many different forms of energy outside of just standard gas and oil.
Yes.
From nuclear.
Yes.
Which everyone is scared of, but really clean and efficient.
Yep.
You know, solar.
And also a lot of innovation around it right now.
Tons of innovation. And it should be.
Yep.
Geothermal, which is very interesting.
Yep.
And funky, can be.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of getting the balances right in your homes.
Yep.
You know, it's all so early.
It is very early. And what's different now, I think compared to maybe the last couple of decades, all of those different types of energy sources and technologies, they were siloed industries. They were all developed as if there was only this one solution, either in the solar game or you're in the wind game or the geothermal game. But now they're all intertwining. So it's no longer one choice or the other. It's what's the right mix of them? What's the right balance? How do you balance them? And so the solution set is, it's a more complicated systems problem versus I don't like oil and I'm going to use solar. It's not that way.
It's not clear cut anymore.
Yeah.
So just curious, like, let's go back to like how you sort of, you know, started thinking about Blueprint makes complete sense and there's a void in the market and I'm going to jump into this game.
Sure. So after getting excited about energy and buildings and how that interacted, I was lucky enough to start my career at Google, where I was actually working directly for the two co-founders as an assistant, frankly, as, you know, part of this assistant team they had. At first, I wasn't sure I wanted the job, but my interview with Larry Page consisted of talking about light bulbs. We sat in a conference room and we talked about how efficient light bulbs could be.
Amazing.
And so
were there LEDs then?
No, it was T8s. It was fluorescence. Yeah, this is how old ago.
It's just like looking back, right? I mean, but you think about LEDs, like how fast that has changed the industry.
Yeah, it's a remarkable case study, like total success story. It's incredible.
And every lighting designer you talk to, or every store that you go into, it's all about LEDs. And what's interesting I'm going to go back to this interview, that when you go into homes that were wired for non-LED lighting and you put them in, they twinkle, they don't work, you know, and it's like in a very short amount of time, you know, that technology's completely changed. Well as many others, from HVAC and heating and, you know, splits, and it's incredible.
It is. But you're right. LEDs in particular are a fascinating case study. It was like a 10-year
boom.
But yeah, it was amazing.
So you talked about light bulbs.
Yeah, no LEDs then. So we talked about fluorescence. And then so basically I served as owner's rep for Larry and Sergey as they were building out their offices around the world. And they cared about this stuff, obviously, like
They're future thinkers.
They're future thinkers. They already had, when I joined, they already had an incentive for employees to buy Priuses. And, you know, they were just really cutting edge from that standpoint based on what was available at that time.
Right. So you built their buildings.
So I helped build their buildings. I snuck in a lot of green building features. They asked for more. And I saw this opportunity for Google to emerge as a leader in this space. Mm-hmm. I knew they consumed a lot of electricity with their data centers.
For sure.
that was still kind of undercover back then. But now, you know, at least that's an acknowledged thing. And a lot of the big tech firms are doing a lot about it. But anyway, so I said, let me go do more of this for you full time. And so I started their green energy strategy team. So I greened Google's operations. After that, I put solar all over the Google headquarters in Mountain View, which back then was like a big deal. There weren't even enough solar panels in the world to supply all the projects.
And I'm sure they were clunky and not easy and, you know, and super unattractive.
Yeah, they weren't that bad, but the inverters were the size of a house.
Right.
I mean, they were so big. I don't even think that company exists anymore, you know, the brand we used. But yeah, it was just... You know, it was weird. And we had to do anyway, I could talk forever about that project. But so that catalyzed my excitement about distributed energy, you know, the solutions available, who wanted to invest in it, whether it was companies or utilities or, you know, who the players were, who could really drive this stuff forward.
Right.
So since then,
there probably wasn't many.
There wasn't many.
Right. So you all knew each other.
We all knew each other. And yeah, it was kind of this emergence of the like chief sustainability officer, like career path.
Right.
That didn't exist then either. So it was just a fun, crazy time. And there's still like a network of us that, you know, we were all just trying to do stuff together.
I'm sure. And so at one point you decided it's time for me to move on.
Yes. At one point I wanted to go squarely into energy. I went back first and got my MBA, but then moved to Europe and worked for Vestas, a large wind manufacturer. They build the big wind turbines.
And they are, I mean, Europe in general seems to be ahead of the game in regards to everything when it comes to thinking forward, but with, in many ways, an old society.
Yes.
Which I find fascinating. I'm actually reading a book about sort of the history of France now. And
oh, interesting.
It's really just interesting of this super ahead, but going back to these tiny little towns and the food that comes from them and why that sort of defines who they all are as individuals.
Yes.
And I love that.
It does make change happen faster in some ways for some of these things.
Well, they're small.
They're small and there's a more like community collective mindset.
Right. Right. And it started from hundreds of years ago.
Yes.
I mean, when people look at, talk about, well, we could be like Copenhagen and, or, you know, we should be more like, you know, Denmark. And it's just like, okay, that's the size of,
you know, 5 million people.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, the reason is that they're all connected to each other and they need to be very smart.
Exactly. So that, That's actually where I lived. I lived in Copenhagen and I was, you know, this is the future, but realized how hard it was going to be to do it here in the US. It's a totally different ballpark.
Yeah.
And
you're dealing with large organizations that are very concerned about maintaining their market share and making life miserable for us on the other side.
That is correct. That has not changed at all in the last few years. And you're right. It's a totally different dynamic. And, but it's a great proof point. You can, you know, places like Denmark and parts of Germany and, you know, parts of even the Netherlands, they can prove that these new solutions technologically can work and function and the grid doesn't break when you have 50% wind. And like
for
stuff
sure.
Like
and
that.
There's also, you know, the long tail in regards to climate change and water tables rising and how this is going to affect that. But, you know, they are, again, they're small and they're very connected on small plots of land.
Yes. Yep. You're absolutely right. It's a totally different ballgame. It's inspirational, but you can't just rinse and repeat and
do it. How long were you living in Copenhagen?
I was there almost 2 years.
It's a great city.
I loved it. Yeah. I just went back recently and saw some. It's a wonderful
place. It's a wonderful place. I mean, not necessarily in the throes of February.
No.
But, you know, in general, the culture, the people, the vibe, the restaurants, the art, I mean, the whole thing, it's really a very unique place.
It is. It is. And they...
And the Louisiana Museum, of course.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually the only reason I went back recently, because I missed it so much. It's my favorite.
It's incredible.
On the planet.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. We can talk about that all day, too.
Exactly. So you stayed 2 years.
So stayed 2 years, came back when I wanted to work more back on distributed solutions, because Vestas, it's one of the top wind OEMs in the world, but they build large power plants. Mm-hmm. They build wind farms, which is amazing. But I was hearkening back to my, you know, Google days where networks were the thing. And I felt like there was something there for electricity as new technologies were emerging. So I came back and I actually worked closely with Dean Kamen, who is a famed inventor. Mostly in medical devices. He's known for the Segway. That's why most people know him. Mm-hmm. But he did the insulin pump that everyone wears. I mean, he's made a lot of life-changing technologies. And he had a small water machine, a water purification machine, and a small clean power generator that I helped him commercialize, build strategies around, raise some money for. And that was amazing because I had to sit around and think, how do you... you know, put distributed solutions in the world. Like, there are physical hardware, distributed, like, nodes, but for things like water and power. It was very different than, you know, communications or software. So that I think was really the genesis of what is now Blueprint.
Which would make sense.
Yeah, spending a lot of time thinking about that, understanding, you know, who all the players are.
How do you disperse this?
We had money from Coca-Cola for the water machine, and they wanted to use their distribution network to go clean water in places where they were consuming water.
Makes sense.
And then a large power company in the U.S. Funded, called NRG, they funded the power generator, and they wanted to distribute it through sales through, like, essentially their retail utility customers. Which is hard to do.
That has to be extremely hard to do.
It's very hard.
I mean, you're talking about consumer products.
Exactly.
And that is not exactly who people are expecting to get from them.
No.
Right. Coca-Cola, yes.
Yes, that is right.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's very insightful of you, and that was the challenge for that distributed power solution. And a lot of companies have tried to turn from kind of old school power companies into consumer-y type facing energy solutions providers. And it's very hard.
So I can only imagine. And so you decided, okay, there is this need and I'm going to build this.
Yes. So what's interesting is one gap to fill there is I learned a lot about real estate. And at some point, I was working closely.
And you started really in real estate. I mean, even though you don't think of yourself starting real estate, you know, civic engineering is about real estate.
Yeah, it's all about the buildings.
It's all about the buildings. Yes.
You're right. That's a nice It's a nice close circle moment.
Well, dots always connect whether you think so or not.
Mm-hmm. At one point, I was helping a large real estate firm think about tech investing in real estate tech broadly as I was playing around with real estate and energy ideas.
Interesting. And that field, and we could talk about that forever, but we won't, has completely exploded.
Yes.
I made some very early investments in real estate back end. If you look at my portfolio, I would say the food and the real estate is probably my largest sectors. And those are large, large umbrellas.
Yes.
But as much as people would talk about years ago that real estate was slow to change, I mean, we can go back to the New York Times being the spot where you would find something to buy or rent.
Yes.
Okay. And that has changed dramatically in 12 years.
Yeah. I love real estate tech because you can now look at buildings as the canvas for technology to layer upon and like new business models and new platforms. And so
which scares the shit out of the old people that are using those as their platforms.
Yes, that is true. That is true. And there's, but I actually think the real estate industry has kind of woken up to it.
Yes. They really have.
Yes.
And I think they woke up and they woke up really quickly and heavily.
Yes. Yes. So there's lots of money flooding into it and a lot of strategics are playing in it.
And a lot of real estate families that have tremendous amount of capital that they will continue to leave for generation after generation. Yes. They do see the future.
Yes.
And they understand it.
Yes. I completely agree with you. And that understanding that actually helped the Blueprint strategy because we are an energy play, but really on behalf of the real estate industry. So we're a mix of real estate, energy, and tech. And the big final piece of the strategy through, you know, that I've been working on throughout my career, and my co-founders, you know, equally in their own ways have been too, is this real estate piece. It's understanding what motivates the real estate owner. Their buildings are going to be the killer app for the new grid. They are the center of everything that is happening energy-wise in the future.
Completely.
Whether it's urbanize, you know, densifying grids, you know, electrifying fleets of buses and cars.
Mesh network for phones.
Yes, mesh network for phones, you know, more like everything's getting more energy intensive locally.
And smarter and smaller.
Yes. Yes. So buildings can host all of that. And
with ease.
With ease. And it can be quite lucrative for them. And real estate owners are starting to understand that now too. Others are also starting to understand that, like the utility. And so there's basically money on the table that is
everyone's
up for
grabbing
grabs.
For. What was interesting is we talked about before we started talking today is, you know, I believe and wholeheartedly that we are going into a decentralized world.
Yes.
So, you know, in your home, in your apartment building, you will have energy, multiple kinds of energy.
Yep.
You will be off the grid, but your connection to the grid will really be about reselling the energy that you have overused.
Yes.
Then you will have perhaps window farms that are attached to your windows or on top of the roof where you can get your quick growing vegetables, herbs, things that are like that. I mean, you might have a cow, but doubtfully, but it's more like, you know, that type of thing. And in many ways, you know, to me, it's full circle to when we came here, it started the United States, and there was the shoe person. Mm-hmm. You had your own home, and you know, kept your fire going, and you made your own butter, and you had your vegetables in the garden. And the other people were part of your community that allowed you, you know, perhaps to make a dress.
Yes.
And I like that. I also think that these large companies like the Con Eds of the world who are finally waking up, DirecTV, I think, might already be gone because Apple's just crushing them.
Yep.
The price of these products have so dramatically changed so that the Con Eds of the world are never going to get the pricing that they get now.
Yes.
And this generation is going to be like, we're done with you.
Yep. Yep. It's so fascinating because you're right. It's the cost point of the things like solar panels or batteries. Batteries are still expensive, but year over year cost decline is dropping faster than solar ever did.
Yeah. Well, isn't now solar actually in terms of coal
mm-hmm.
cheaper.
Yes.
I mean, that's yeah. a massive shift.
Yeah.
Because in 1987, it was not.
Yeah. Even 10 years ago, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, it is amazing. And then software, these are when you have these distributed hardware assets, now software comes into play. So you can start managing them better, optimizing them. The whole, you know, there's a big data layer now that gets really interesting.
Well, the data layer is extremely interesting.
It's very, and it's, so now basically it won't even be about the solar anymore. The solar is just going to be everywhere. And it's about everything you can build on top of it.
Right.
You know,
right.
virtually through, it's a new platform. It's a new platform.
And it's an education. I mean, you know, we're going to be using, you know, your product in a building that we're building.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the conversations we have had is, do you say to all the tenants, it's free, it's yeah. part of your rent? And I have said, no.
Yeah.
I want them to see their bill every month, to see, we only paid $6 this month, and here's why.
Yeah.
So as they go on in their lives and they build their own homes or their own apartments, that they have been educated to understand the importance of changing energy.
Yes. I think that's critical. So this is a very difficult question because electricity and energy around, you know, it's been ubiquitous and invisible mostly for all of our, you know, it's just, it's not top of mind.
No, you don't think about it.
You don't
turn on
the
light,
uses of it.
You get the heat. I yeah. mean, there's no conversation.
There's no, so finding like rebranding energy is, you know, a really fascinating exercise that will need to happen for as these new solutions are on there, these new services. I mean, your building will be providing like a cutting edge new service that's how it needs to feel, even though it's still electricity. It's something more than that. And helping the tenants understand that is a great opportunity for a lot of things.
Yes, for many, many things.
So
when you started this business and went out and raised capital around this, I'm going to assume that some people were like, whatever. And others who actually understood this field
yes.
were like, okay, this makes complete sense.
Yes. Yeah. So we our fundraising strategy was to get a mix of kind of clean tech investors, real estate tech investors, and tech investors.
Which makes sense because they get it.
Yeah, they get it. The hardest part was probably the clean tech side because there's been, from an investment standpoint, not the greatest track record for clean tech in the last few cycles. So that's always a hard one. And there's fewer funds out there now for clean tech. But what's great is the ones that are out there are, you know, high quality and really have been involved forever and just know what they're talking about. So that's great. But yeah, there's definitely some, you know, some conversations ended up being, you know, what is a battery? You know, batteries can go in buildings. It got stuck on that kind of thing versus like, you know, what do you do once it's there? So
that's amazing. And yeah. So where do you see the future? You know, where do you see energy 3 years from now?
So what I would like to see, obviously, I'd like to see most of Manhattan with buildings that are enabled to be their own power plants.
And is it easy to make that shift? I mean, years ago, you know, when we all had these phones, you get a phone call from AT&T or Sprint.
Yeah.
If you say yes, we can just change you over right now. I mean, is it easy to make these shifts in these buildings?
Technically, it's not that hard.
Okay.
On the non-technical side, it's still slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just getting everyone
right.
signed off.
All right. So 3 years from now, you want to light up Manhattan.
I want to light up Manhattan. And I would love to see not just right now, Blueprint will sell the surplus energy into the grid, which is where we can play in different power markets mm-hmm. that are open and available to us now. But we'd love to see buildings like selling to each other, which is what you were talking about
yeah.
with your examples. And just, you know, and I think the real estate owners love this idea too, because it's like a market, you know, you're a true market and you're trading with each other.
And you're getting rid of the huge enterprise conglomerates
yes.
like a Con Ed. Which, by the way, you know, I've always said that when we get rid of Time Warner, you know, and everyone can access themselves and nobody has to be at home from 9 to noon
yeah.
or 9 to 7,
yeah.
is that people will literally go in the streets and cheer. Because they've made it so miserable for everybody.
Yeah.
Because they were the only owners.
It's, yeah. It's, I think Con Ed might have a different role in life than what it is now. I'm not sure it'll disappear the grid is still a thing to maintain. And
I agree.
But yes, I think there should be
it more have to change.
It's just, it's all heading that way.
Yeah.
It's all heading that way.
We even looked into doing geothermo in a house.
Yes.
God, 7 or 8 years ago. It was insanely expensive. Yes. There was going to be a tax deduction to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked at the time period that we'd have to own that house and usage,
yeah,
it'd be like 25 years before we made the money back. And yes, we decided, even though it was, we wanted to do that for the economy, we were concerned that the technology wasn't there yet. Fast forward, we just did it.
Yep.
And the price was not absurd.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, is it really make sense to do that?
Mm-hmm.
It was a no-brainer.
Yes.
And that's what I think has really changed.
Yes.
You know, we have a house where we're doing all solar paneling. We're actually in line to get the solar paneling from Tesla.
Yeah.
Which I believe is being made. You know, we'll probably have something else there until we pop those,
yep,
you know, and we'll flip them out, which is a no-brainer.
Yes.
And so, you know, as two people that have wanted to do the right thing environmentally, it has been cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
But now it is no longer.
Yep. And it's an easy choice for you to make, which is...
is how it has to be.
Is how it has to be. So I think, yes, I think you'll see more of these energy technologies dispersed around buildings. And then in 3 to 5 years, hopefully... well, there's two things. One, there's a great marketplace for when you're not in your home. Maybe if it's, you're only there like part of the year, it becomes a power plant when you're not there and you can be supplying your neighborhood or you can be making money off of it. I'm really excited about when buses and cars are electric and there's more of them around, especially in cities where it's dense and there's going to be a lot of, you know, whether it's Uber or Lyft electrifying their fleets or public buses. They're going to want to charge where the people, where the riders are.
Completely.
And so buildings are where the riders are going. And I just love the idea of a building being a gas station to the bus, but it's not, you know, the electric charging standpoint.
We're not there, but we're going there.
We're going there. And it's like, that is very lucrative for the building owners. It's very high. It's like a very high service oriented thing towards the vehicles, and everyone should be happy when that happens versus having to like drive your car to White Plains to the supercharger, you know, to charge up.
Right. I mean, Tesla just added 3 superchargers to New York City.
Yeah. And that's very hard to do right now.
Yes.
Very hard. And at some point it'll get easier and easier. But right now that is, that's where your geothermal was like 7 years ago.
Right.
That's how it is now.
Yeah,
for but it chargers. Changes. Yeah.
Right. Fascinating. Great conversation. Very excited about where this is all going.
Thank you.
And I'm so great for you coming today and talking to us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks. My thanks to Robin for joining me on the podcast this week. If you're interested in Blueprint Power and the work that they're doing, you can check them out at blueprintpower.com.